Hi, this is Ken McCarthy, and welcome to another in our series of pre-system teleseminars. This is where we spend time with each one of the System 2008 faculty. We get to know them, how they got into the Internet business, how they found their way, and the things that they are going to share with us right on this call, by the way. These calls are not a come-on for something else. The calls are designed to be self-contained and give you practical business information that you can take away and use immediately. They are, of course, promotional as well. We want to let people know about System 2008, this year held in Chicago, May 30th, 31st, and June 1st. But that's it. That's the whole ad. I'll repeat this at the end of the call, and that's it. Otherwise, we want to get right to content. This year, I did a road trip. I went to some of my favorite cities, places that I've already been to many times, but I went to a new city, city I always wanted to go to, just never made it there. And one of the big draws there was this city produces a tremendous number of very talented internet marketing people. And I had the great pleasure to sit down at dinner and meet our guest today, along with his colleagues, one of whom I've known for years and hold in really high regard. And the city I'm talking about is Vancouver, and I don't know whether it's the water or the rain or the proximity to the Pacific Ocean or what it is, but that city's got more really top-drawer internet people than almost any other place I can think of. Our guest today is Colin McDougall. Welcome, Colin.
It's great to be here, Ken. Thanks for having me on the call today and also having me as faculty on the System Seminar.
Yeah, and I shared a great dinner with Colin McDougall and Michael Campbell and Colin Weeb, and it was wonderful. We were in a Chinese restaurant. I'm not even sure what part of town we were in because I wasn't in Vancouver long enough to get my bearings, but we had a great meal. We talked for hours. I wish that I'd had a video camera set up, recording everything, because it was one of the most mind-bending, information-packed, ahead-of-the-curve, informal seminars on the realities of social marketing and search engine optimization that I've ever been a part of or even heard about. You know, wherever you have Michael Campbell, you're going to have a very, very high-level SEO stuff. Just, I want to do a quick nod to Michael. Michael is one of the reasons why Vancouver is such a hotbed for top-level internet marketing activity. He is the godfather, the grandfather of pretty much all serious SEO practice. Certainly, there are other people that have made huge contributions, but Michael, if you trace, maybe 95% of the good SEO stuff that's out there, a lot of it goes right back to Michael. He was doing complex, very sophisticated, and very effective linking strategy stuff back in the 90s. I remember hearing a talk that he gave at one of the Jonathan Mizell Super Summits back then, and he was already doing in 98, 99 stuff that people are only just beginning to figure out now. But the purpose of our call is to bring everybody up to date on where the search engine game is headed. But before we do that, I want to talk with you, Colin, about your career, how you found internet marketing, how you found your particular path in it, and then we're going to go into your specialty, one of your specialties, actually, which is working with the search engines to get very high ranking. And we're going to talk about your results, which are which really speak for themselves. Theoretically, search engine prowess should be very easily determined. You just ask somebody to accomplish something and see what they do. And on that basis, if you see what Colin's accomplished, you'll realize that he knows a tremendous amount about the search engine world. So, Colin, how did you find internet marketing, and how did you figure out your path on it?
Well, let's roll the clock back to 1994 when I was working at Nortel Networks as a Unix system administrator, database administrator, daily tape backup changer guy, recognizing that this internet thing was starting to take grab and hold, and I thought, you know, there's probably some money out there. There's a new media hitting the waves, the world is changing, and instinctually I knew that in 1994, yet didn't really start proceeding with any action until 1999 when I started building on a free site. I believe it was Net Zero. You could get a free domain, free hosting.
Oh, yeah.
And at that point, I thought, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to go build a business for free and then write a book on how I made $1 million building a business for free. So in 1999, I built themansmall.netzero.com. And off I went and started adding content about stuff for guys. That it was going to be tools, fast cars. So I built all this content, and then I said, huh, now what? Why isn't there millions of people hammering my site every hour? Oh, wait a minute, how am I going to make some money on this? And then 1999, the dot-com bubble burst with all the tech stocks, and I thought, okay, the Internet's dead. And I walked away. And I said, oh, well, good thing I didn't put any more money into that or any more time into proceeding with that because the Internet's dead. There's no money there. And it wasn't until actually about late 2000, early 2001. At that point, I got fed up with the hours. I was a demand work at Nortel for free, basically put in 18 hours a day. And, oh, yeah, that's professional courtesy. Yeah, do you mind coming in about 4 to 5 hours early, staying 4 to 5 hours late? And, yeah, could you not charge overtime for that? Because that's professional courtesy. You know, you're in meetings all day long, so you're not really doing anything. So you need to double up your day to get the work done. And, yeah, we're not going to pay you for that. You know, and the guy can only take so much of that before I said, you know what, that's it, I quit. And I proceeded to take another job at the local power utility, BC Hydro, performing the same tasks. Only this time, rather than having to look after 200, 300 servers personally, I was one guy hired to look after one server, and my job was to make sure it was up. That gave me a lot of time on my hands to have coffee with the boys. It was a union environment, so... You know, for the first couple of weeks, I thought, this is wonderful. I show up to work, I have coffee, I go work out at the gym for 2 hours a day. But you get a little antsy, like, oh, my gosh, it's only a matter of time before they notice they don't need me. But as I was sitting there having my coffee at my desk, talking to my buddies, a friend of mine that was actually doing really well that I play hockey with on the Internet had sent an email, and he was looking for copywriters for his websites. And now at that point, I just bought a new house, also just had a baby. And I was running about $50 shy of making my bills each and every month, so I was desperately trying to get overtime BC Hydro, which is difficult to do when you're one guy hired to look after one server. So I was really just desperately looking for a way to make some money, and then I saw that email come in saying, wow, I can write copy for this guy, and he's going to pay me $500 a month? Wow, I've just hit the jackpot. So I quickly responded to him, and he said, wait a minute, you're smarter than... that you're a techie guy, I'm going to get you to write a content management system for me. So I ended up writing code for him to build a content management system. And from there, he pitched something at me. He said, you know, Colin, I see you working hard. This is great code. But you know what? Why don't you consider not taking this $500 check from me? And what I will do is teach you the business in exchange for this coding. And I resisted that. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I need that money. And then one day when I was going to pick up my check from him, he started slapping down this $10,000 check, a $5,000 check, and these pretty substantial checks. And I was like, wait a minute. I hear you golfing all the time. You don't go to work. You don't get up before noon. I bust my hump for $5,000 a month, and I took that check he handed me for $500, tore it up, and said, show me this.
So, nice.
So that was that was kind of my entry into it, and he showed me a few of the essential elements and ingredients that you need to do, and I just took it, ran with it, started studying on my own, and, you know, going back to Michael Campbell, that's when I discovered the man Michael Campbell, grabbed some of his stuff. I believe he had, I can't remember which books off the top of my head, Nothing But Net or whatever books Michael had, started studying that and just ran wild with it, and 3 months later, I said, sorry, Chuck, I can't work for you anymore. I'm making $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a month now. So that's
that
little kind of...
It was that fast for you, huh?
It was
now,
that
part
fast.
Of that, I wonder if part of that had to do with the time, because it was, you know, there weren't that many sophisticated Internet marketers back then.
Ken, there's one thing that I just launched some new campaigns 4 weeks ago that have added another $10,000 a month to my income, so you can still do it just as fast. The nature of the speed is different. The activities are slightly different, but... Yeah, I'm actually able to get up to speed a little faster in today's day and age with the introduction of Web 2.
Well, let's go right into that, because at that dinner in Vancouver, and boy, I wish everybody on this call could have been at that dinner. And I've learned my lesson. I will never talk with Michael Campbell again without having a tape recorder.
Well, that's actually just before we go on. A good rule of thumb is anytime anybody listening to this call is going to be engaged in a conversation with other internet marketers, make sure you have some kind of recording device, whether it be a video camera or just an MP3 recorder. You can get MP3 recorders now for about $50. It's a wise investment because you're going to have some of the most profound conversations. I don't know how many times we do this. We say, you know, we should have just recorded that. That was some great information. So heads up to everyone on the call, and this, you know, for your own benefit too, if you're talking about something in your particular business, it's content. Everything around you is content. Every conversation is content. So having said that,
let's try to recreate as much of that call as we can, that dinner as we can. But the main thing that Michael said that really blew me away, this is profound, and he's not one to say things lightly. He said, you know, Ken, it's as easy to get to the top of the search engine rankings today, this year, as it was back in 97 when we had no competition. And that just floored me, because if anybody that's been around in internet marketing for a while knows that it was very easy in the beginning. You know, God, we had top, we didn't even know what we were doing, and we had number one keywords for all kinds of great things. And then people started to get smart and sophisticated and ambitious, and people poured into the marketplace, and suddenly it became, at least for me, a battle that was just too hard to fight. I didn't have the aptitude or the interest or the right skills or whatever, so I left the SEO to other people. So that's been my mindset for years and years and years. And when Michael just says, hey, you know, if you know what you're doing, it's as easy today as it was in 97, that really piqued my interest. So where were things previous to where we are today, and what's changed, and how can listeners on this call use some of what you know to start getting results with their own rankings?
Well, let's start with Michael said it's as easy today. I would actually extend that to say it's actually easier today. Not necessarily easier.
Wow.
It's just as easy as it was then. It just happens faster now. You know, let's just talk about kind of the indexing cycle of the search engines way back when. There used to be, you publish your page, you'd get some links to it, Google would spider that, then they'd index it, then they'd sort it out in their ranking algorithm, then they'd publish live to their index, which that cycle tended to take anywhere from 2 months up to 6 months to happen. Now they're instantly spidering content, publishing it with, I've had top 10 rankings within 6 minutes. So, you know, this is a pretty exciting time that never before have you been able to show up in the free search results in as little as 6 minutes. You know, I just want to tell my story about when I first discovered this a few years ago. I was sitting at Starbucks working on my Wi-Fi laptop. I published some content. I went, ordered another coffee, put cream in it, sat down, just searched the Google search results to look at my competitors again. I was like, wait a minute. That's my page at the top. I just published that before I got up to get this coffee.
Oh, my God.
So that really excited me, you know, just having said, remember back in the day, it used to take anywhere from 2 to 6 months just to get your page indexed. So,
well, you know, you discovered the new world of search engine stuff a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, no, this has kind of been emerging for about 3 years, and it takes its little shifts and turns in the way things happen, and it's just really starting to come into play now on what was dubbed Web 2.0.
What's amazing to me, there are still people, a lot of people, teaching the old methods and putting people through all these unnecessary rigor and, you know, time waiting and complications as if we were living in some other world. They're not up to, I mean, what you were already catching on to several years ago, they still don't even, and is now here in full force. They still either don't know or they're not conveying it to their students. This is sort of cautionary to everybody. It's very important in the search engine world. Things change pretty fast. And it's not unusual to have material floating around that is really outdated and it may be even counterproductive. In fact, often counterproductive.
Yeah. Well, so the thing you have to look at there, Ken. Sorry, I'll let you finish.
So I just want to say is this is one, you know, copywriting doesn't really change. Conversion strategies don't really change. Split testing doesn't really change. How to give a good presentation doesn't really change. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, you get better at them. You learn a few tricks. You know, do a few enhancements and so on. But think of the search engine world as this desert of ever shifting sands.
So it's the one area where you need to really be a very smart buyer. And that's why, you know, I use as a touchstone Michael Campbell, because he's been at the top for years and years and years. So many people draw on what he's learned. And so when Michael said, oh, well, listen, you've got to meet Colin McDougall. And I said, okay, Michael, if you say so, I'm there. And then I sat down with Michael. I sat down with Michael and Colin and Colin Weave. And I realized, my God, I get it. So that's just an aside. So let's focus on the new reality of working with search engines.
Yeah, well, basically, let's go over a bit of the history. And the problem with some material that's floating around that is outdated is you have to look, and people have invested a lot of time and money into producing their training material, and to go and revamp that is going to take them more time, more money, and if they're already selling it, they truly really don't care. You know, let's just drop that part of the conversation right now and go over kind of the evolution of then to now. Quite simply, way back when, it was take any content, write it to a specific keyword density formula, get this keyword in here X number of times, and the surrounding phrases and words didn't really matter. You could produce junk that would show up at the top of the search engines. And a good case in point is one of the first sites I built was a credit card site, and my content would read like this. When you're looking for the best credit cards keyword, the best credit card applications are the credit card applications that I've reviewed, because the credit card reviews here have been manually reviewed, and the credit card applications blah, blah, blah. So no value to the visitor, yet my keyword density was so bang on that there we go. I'm ranking on 10 keywords in that article because I got the density right on all of them. Google realized that that isn't what they want to show at the top of their search results. Their visitors don't really get much from that. And if they don't, if Google doesn't improve their search results, they've seen, you know, back in the day when I first started, it was all about Alta Vista. Now, there's probably a lot of people listening to this call that never heard of Alta Vista, but they were the king search engines that Google went and just flushed down the toilet.
Yep.
Google knows how fickle Internet users are, and they don't want to become, you know, there was this constantly jokes going around when Google screws up an algorithm saying Google Vista. It's critical that they keep their search results top quality, otherwise they too can quickly get flushed down the toilet by the next search engine competitor. Now, I think they're a little deeply entrenched for that to happen in this day and age, but it is possible, so they must keep going forward with improving their search results. So it all started with write to a keyword density formula, and it was all 100% about inbound link text. So if I wanted to get ranked on those phrases that I've got the density for, such as best credit cards, I would then make sure I've got inbound links that read best credit cards and so on. Now, that was very easy to manipulate. Way back in the day, it was trade a bunch of links and off you go. So this day and age, they've diminished the value of a reciprocal link. So if anybody out there is listening that trades links still, stop. It's not worth your time unless that site is actually sending you a mass amount of traffic, which in most cases, probably they aren't. Now, the big shakedown came about, it was about 3-4 years ago. It was a Google update dubbed Florida. And what Google started to do is categorize websites or more or less categorize the web, which now you start looking and you see these tags about different categories on blogs. There's a lot of industries that are typically abused a lot by spammers. So they wanted to categorize the web into these are problematic areas, so we're going to flush those out first and so on. But they went past there and went into what we call now latent semantic indexing, which is really how does one word relate to another. If I'm using the word credit card applications, what other words should be in there? I should also have, say, credit card offers, APR, annual percentage rate. They have a base set of documents that they can check and say, these are known well-written documents that have these words in them. So if this other word or if this other page is good, it should have some of these other phrases in it, and that'll be an indicator that this is a higher level, better written document. So let's reward that. So
they're basically being able to increase their machine intelligence. In the old days, the machines were pretty dumb. They would just say, gee, is he saying credit card? How many times does he say it? Oh, this must be about credit cards. And then when the spammers caught on to that, they realized, oh, wait a minute, we got to be smarter. So the machines are actually getting a little bit smarter and able to say, okay, if it's about credit cards, it should have all these other type of words in it as well, and that's an indication that it's a real article.
Yeah, and that it's useful. And one of the projects that Google started, oh, I can't remember the exact date, but probably 5-6 years ago, was the Google Books project, where they started scanning in every piece of literature ever written by humanity and archiving that. And a lot of people were getting outraged. They said, this is copyright infringement, this is bad, this is evil. But what Google was really doing there was getting a base set of well-written documents that if these have been published by real publishing houses, a lot of money has gone into that, therefore this has got to be quality. If it's a book showing up on Chapters or whatever, Barnes & Noble store shelves, you know what? We can say with a lot of confidence that that is a well-written document, and here are the phrases in there. So I believe that forms the foundation of semantic indexing technology.
Gotcha. I mean, no one's going to write a book filled with spam.
That's right. That's right. So now it's holding. So even if you find every trick out there in the search engine world, should you slip past the Google filters when you show up at the top, what Google's done there is forced those pages to actually be quality pages, thereby giving their index a very authoritative feel to it that when somebody searches Google, they actually get what they want and they get some useful information.
And they've done this, as you referred to earlier, so that they Google, can stay in business. Their business is based on delivering high-quality search engine results. So just as a rule of thumb, if you ever run into anybody that's going to teach you some trick for putting garbage at the top of Google, they're not going to fool Google for long. Maybe it'll work, I don't know, maybe it'll work for a week or a month or
yeah,
something.
Probably about a week now. You know, going back to how quickly the pages also show up in the search results, they have gotten so good at eliminating spam now that if you can squeeze it past the filters and show up at the top, you're probably going to be there for about three to seven days before you get wiped right out.
So this is a good example of, hey, do it right. You know,
do it right.
And you'll get lasting results. Forget all this other nonsense.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit right now about the key to my success. Remember I said that I made $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in the span of 3 months?
Yep.
I had motivation there. I was sick and tired of getting on a bus, spending an hour and a half in rush hour traffic, you know, spending my day at work with people I didn't really want to hang out with, getting on that bus, and another hour and a half to 2 hours to get home in evening rush hour. Man, that didn't really work for me. So, you know, there's nothing like seeing success. And if you find some trick of the trade, something that's not quite on the up and up, and you show up at the top and then get whacked instantly, that can do a lot to dissuade you from going forward, that you now feel like you've failed, that you don't know what you're doing. But, you see, that's however, if you do it right and your page sticks there at the top, you're going to be feeling pretty good as those checks just keep rolling in.
Mm-hmm. And in your case, the checks were coming in, you were redirecting the traffic to using links to affiliates?
Yeah, selling other people's product via affiliate programs using Commission Junction, LinkShare, and the various other affiliate tracking companies that exist on the web today.
And we've done
taking a cut of other people's product. You don't need a product to service.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm sorry. We've done a pretty extensive call on affiliate marketing already in this series, but it bears repeating. You hit the nail on the head. You don't have to create a product or source a product or
invent anything.
Yeah.
All you have to do is have a passion about an industry and go sell that.
And
so if you love cats, if you love dogs, go sell cat and dog stuff to get started.
Yep. Great advice.
So, you know, getting back to the evolution of the search engines, you know, I was talking about keyword density, then the latent semantic indexing technology came into play in their ranking. That was about 3-4 years ago that all that happened, and the information that I was following didn't apply anymore. I woke up, you know, there's nothing like making $60,000 a month, waking up one day, I got to tell this story. I just put about $120,000 down payment on a brand new house that I was having built, custom built home, just spent $50,000 in new furniture and electronics for that house. That was on November 13th, 2001, 2002. I can't remember the exact dates off, but November 13th, I was on top of the world. On the 14th, I got up and said, why am I not making any money? What happened? All of my search results vanished. And it was kind of one of those pinnacle points in my career as an online marketer. I said, well, do I go back to work or do I proceed with this? Okay, commuting every day, yeah, that's not an option anymore. I'm now unemployable. I cannot ever hold down a job again because, what, you want me there at 8 o'clock in the morning? Nah, I don't think so. But given that, I knew I couldn't go back to work and I had to figure out the search engine stuff. So rather than go back to work, rather than feel sorry for myself, I said, I need to hear how to do this from the horse's mouth. There was a search engine conference going on in New York City about 2 months after my sites all got whacked out of the index.
Mm-hmm.
So I booked my flight with the goal, establish relationship with Google Engineer. I went to this conference and just through a great twist of fate, got asked to do an interview on a guy that left his job to proceed with doing something on the Internet. I said, hi, Miles, I'm that guy. So this guy was writing for a local newspaper somewhere in Pennsylvania. So I agreed to do an interview with him in the media room, which was on a different floor, down a hallway, down another hallway. So meet me there at 1 o'clock. So I went there. And beside the media room was the presenter's room. I said, oh, wait a minute. Matt Cutts is speaking. He's a Google engineer. That's the presenter's room. He's a presenter. Light bulb. Wipe my schedule clear for the rest of the conference. I'm not attending another session. I'm going to hang out by the presenter's room. Da, da, da. Oh, hey, Matt. My name's Colin McDougall. I just got whacked out of the Google index. Can I talk to you for a bit? Sure, Colin. Come on in. Sit down. So there was me and Matt Cutts sitting right at a table for a couple hours going over the process I used to build websites. And he went, ooh, no. Ooh, that's not going to work. And then he responded with asking a few questions. Well, Colin, have you thought about this? Ooh, does that matter? Nod. Does that matter? Ooh. I took a bunch of notes, went back to my hotel room, started expanding those notes. Then I had more questions, and over the course of the 4 days at the conference, I had about, anywhere from 10 to 12 hours one-on-one with a senior quality engineer at Google. And that's when my light bulb went off and said, oh, man, I've been doing this wrong from day one.
And so what year was this? This was about 2002?
Yeah, about 2002, 2003, somewhere in that time frame.
Gotcha.
And,
gotcha. Wow, that's already a long time ago. And so you were getting the straight dope straight from the horse's mouth.
Yeah,
Google
and the stuff he was talking
about 5-6 years ago. Yeah,
the stuff that he was talking about was the direction Google will be moving in the next few years, which takes us forward to right now. What he was talking about back in, I believe, what was it, 2003? Again, I can't remember the exact dates at this point, but the stuff he was talking about is just now taking full force in their algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got to test it piece by piece and say, okay, if we implement this, what's going to screw up in the index? So they've got to be very careful, again, thinking of their quality research results.
Sure.
So anyway, I took those notes, and that's why I'm on this call today, is I've entered the training world as well. That at that point, what Matt was talking about was a lot of stuff I never heard of, such as, Colin, tell me, how long are your visitors hanging around on your website? Ooh, does visit duration matter, Matt? Smile and a nod. Well, wouldn't that be a quality indicator that if you had a spam site, someone would be there and gone in less than 5 seconds? However, if you actually had quality, wouldn't they be hanging around for a minute or so?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm, interesting. What about visit depth? Do they poke around your site? Do you actually have a site that people want to navigate through? Oh, that's interesting. And then, of course, he said, how many repeat visitors do you get? Oh, yeah, I guess if I actually had a good site, I'd have people coming back, wouldn't I? So, I found that very interesting, and then I published the VEO report at that point, took all those notes, and actually sent it to friends that were struggling with their search results, and I just compiled all of my written notes into a Word document. Oh, here, Stacy, yeah, here, take that. Yeah, read through my notes, and I think you'll get it. And she replied back and said, Colin, you've got an info product here. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I do.
Huh?
So, there's a story of product creation that you know, I had no intention of going out and creating a product yet. Just by twists of fate, I did.
Well, you were, let's look at the formula there for someone that wants to repeat that. You got deeply immersed in a field for real. You know, you didn't say, hey, I could make money on this. How do I do it? You were actually in the field, loving it and putting your time and energy into it and really digging deep. And then you had an impulse to help somebody else, in this case, a friend.
Yeah.
And so it was necessary for you to write some things down. And bingo, you're in the information marketing business. And people are always
right.
Looking for the magic formula. That's the formula.
Pursue with a passion. And, you know, I'm quite passionate about helping others out. I don't like to see my friends struggle. I don't like to see others struggle. I know there's a lot of misinformation out there, so I don't want anybody to be going through that pain I felt on November 14th, 2003, whatever year that was.
No, I think it was. Were we talking about what they called Florida?
That was the Florida update.
That was definitely 2003, and I'll tell you why I know why, because we were doing a seminar called Traffic School in San Francisco with Perry Marshall and Ken Giddens, the late, great Ken Giddens, and we went into that seminar with everything working, and we went out of it, and everything had stopped working that weekend.
Yeah, and it was, that same week, I just dropped about $150,000, $175,000 hard cash onto stuff.
Oh, Lordy.
Yeah. I'm a little older and wiser now with spending.
Yep. So great. So we've just kind of shared a little how to get into the information marketing business on the right foot secret. So you started distributing, your insights and your experiences and the things that started in that very. I won't say it was a lucky meeting for you because you engineered it. You went to the search engine conference. You had your eyes and ears open. You were looking for opportunity. You kind of knew you were looking for some Google people. And so when an opportunity arose, you jumped on it. It was a little unorthodox the way you went about it, but, you know, it was perfectly fine.
It worked.
and it worked beautifully. And there's another lesson there for everybody, too. You know, you don't necessarily have to follow. I'll say this really quick story real fast, then we'll get back to the content. This made a huge impression on me. I got off the train. I was coming down to New York City from where I live upstate, and I got off the train at Penn Station. It was freezing. You know, it was one of those miserable February days. The wind's blowing, ice on the street, just horrible. And there were about 50 people lined up in front of Penn Station waiting for a cab. Of course, no cabs are coming because everybody in the city is already in a cab. And I looked across the street and to the Hotel Pennsylvania, and they had a cab stand too. And there were two people waiting online just right across the street. And I looked at the line with 50 people, and I looked at the line with two people, and I said, wait a minute, why don't I just cross the street and get on the short line? And then I had a little bit of internal debate, like, well, maybe there's something that these people on the line of 50 know that the ones across the street don't know. And I said, you know what, I'll go over and find out, because I like a line with two people on it rather than a line with 50. And lo and behold, I get on the line, I'm number three, and about 30 seconds later, I'm in a cab, and those 49 people will probably still stand there shivering. So that, you know, that little lesson and what Colin just related is, I guess, if we're looking for keys and secrets to success, it's one of them. It's hard to quantify. It's hard to put in a how-to. But basically, know what your ultimate aim is. Keep your eyes open and be ready to do something that's a little beyond the norm.
Here's something I actually have right in front of my computer every day, and I see this. Because as an internet marketer, I can go promote anything under the sun I want to, but my key to success comes with this phrase, laser focus. Stay focused on the task at hand. Don't deviate. I'm selling furniture today. Well, no, I think I'm going to do a credit card site today. No, I think I'm going to sell dog supplies today. You know, it's kind of pick an industry, stick with it, make the most out of that industry.
Nice.
You know, so it really, one of the core keys to success, and you, like you said, you can't really quantify it, put it into a how-to manual. It's really a mindset that, and for me, it comes down to this little tiny phrase, laser focus. Stay focused and watch the money come, and like we were just talking about, opportunities reveal themselves when you're that focused. You're more in tune with that industry, what's going on, and you're going to spot these industries. You'll be the guy in the lineup of two versus the lineup of 50.
Yep.
Those people knew they kind of wanted to get somewhere, but Ken knew that I don't want to be standing out in this freezing rain anymore. Let's look around. Let's look around, see what's happening out there. Whoa, two people. 50 people, I think I will make the trip across the street.
Right. And in your
and
case,
you
could have, in your case, you could have gone to that conference and said, well, there's all these things laid out for us, and there are these sessions, and somebody else must know what's going on, and I'll leave it entirely up to somebody else's good judgment, so I'll just go to the sessions and from one to the other. And
hope something happens.
Yeah, and you would have, you know, you would have missed, you know, what's become the basis for your business right now.
Absolutely, so, you know, and it wasn't really a business I actually set out to get into, but now that I'm in it, I stay focused on this and mm-hmm. one other affiliate site, nothing more.
Mm-hmm.
This website makes me $20,000 a month. This one does this. That's all I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I have not yet maxed out either of these businesses, so. There we go. Let's go to it. Let's pursue where I have passion.
Beautiful.
And,
beautiful.
You know, again, it came down to I went to New York City with a very specific mission. It was not to sit in conference rooms. It was to meet a Google engineer, period. Yeah. Have a one-on-one conversation with them to learn how to do it right.
Yeah. And do you remember how many people were at that conference?
There was probably upwards of about 4,000 or 5,000 people.
Okay. So take my example of the line. Take my example of the line for the cab and multiply it by 100 or more. And the fellow that you talked with from Google, was he hard to talk to? I mean, was he like guarded?
No, he wasn't. I just said, "Hi, you're Matt Cutts. Yeah, that was a great presentation. I got a few questions for you. Do you mind answering questions?" And you know, I've talked to him quite a few times since. And he loves hearing webmaster stories because he can now take that back to Google and say, yeah, this guy's abusing the algorithm this way. We need to fix it for that.
Nice.
And
another lesson, and we're sort of talking about general business lessons, but they are very powerful, is if you've got the right stuff for your prospect or the target or the person that you want to spend time with, if you've got the right stuff, whatever that stuff is for that person, you can get access to anybody on earth. And I want to tell a real quick story. I'm going on the sideline. We're going to have to do
this. This is actually really valuable information, and this is what's going to really be part of the core of anybody's business. And we will get back to the Web 2 stuff in a second. So
yeah. Well, we may even need to do two calls with you because we're just going in so many productive directions. But I have a cousin. Okay, we raised the same socioeconomic background, modest. Not poor, not rich, sort of in the middle. She hangs out with the Queen of England.
Wow.
Right? Now, is she a billionaire? No. Is she royalty? Not unless something's changed radically in our family that I don't know about. How on earth does my Irish Catholic cousin with flaming red hair spend quality hangout social time with the Queen of England? Something you could never engineer. It was completely by accident. Just to give perspective on this, we're talking about the Queen of England. She's guarded by the British Army. She's got 1,000 years of protocol that control who she even looks at, let alone who she hangs out with. How did my cousin get to that position? They share a passion for something very specific, and I guess for security reasons, I'm not going to give the details.
You're not going to mention that here.
As you know, but if you just look, one of the things the Queen of England loves, and I'll give a range of things so that you won't be able to, she loves her dogs, she loves her horses, she loves animals. And it so happens that my cousin just happens to be one of the world's leading authorities on a particular breed of animal. And so much so that the Queen of England reached out to her and invited her, next time you're in England, would you come by the castle? And this is a true story, man. This really happened. And the way I found this out was I was at my mom's house, and there's this snapshot of my cousin and her husband and her baby with this woman in an overcoat and a headscarf. And that's, if anybody knows, that's what the Queen of England wears when she's not on stage. And I looked at it, and I thought, oh, this must be one of those cutout fake
cardboard
pictures, you know, like Bill Clinton or something, or George Bush. And I'm realizing, well, no, it's not. I'm going, I go to my mom. Mom, that woman looks a lot like the Queen of England. Who is that? My mom goes, that is the Queen of England. And she told me the story. So, you know, the point is, Colin was able to reach the best person on earth for an internet marketer to reach at that point in history
was a Google insider, an engineer who knew what was going on and what the direction of Google was going. That was the best person on earth to reach. And Google and Colin reached him, one, because he was looking for him. You tend not to find things you're not looking for. You're going to be looking for something. He was able to think outside the box. But as Colin referred to, he had a little chip. He had a little bargaining chip to bring to the equation. The Google guy wanted to know all the crazy stuff that webmasters were doing to try to game Google. So you might think, well, why would a Google engineer, want to sit down and talk with me? Well, Colin had something that guy wanted to know, and that was the key. So I just want to throw that out there. If you have something that a target wants, you'll be amazed at how all the barriers and obstacles and folder all just dissolves and you get right to it. So when you're doing your marketing, when you're doing your strategy, when you're doing anything, if you're in that other person's shoes and you're really in it, it's never hard to get attention. It's never hard to get an audience. It's never hard to get an opportunity. But so many people stand on that line in the freezing sleet behind 50 other, would-be taxi drivers waiting for their turn for the taxi. Don't wait for your turn. Open your eyes, look around, and see what's going on. So anyway, all this philosophy. So you learned a bunch of stuff, and you didn't let moss grow under your feet. You immediately started applying it, and you immediately started seeing results. And those results, it sounds like, are getting more and more powerful as Google's shift is becoming more and more complete. Did I lose you?
Hello?
Are you still there? Okay, I'm going to improvise. Oh, yeah, good. You're good.
I heard a blip and things got cut out there.
We're back. No problem. So what I basically wanted to say is you got the goods.
I got the goods.
That's good. And it's made a big impact on your business right away. But
the impact
is getting even stronger as Google's transition to this new order is becoming more complete.
Yeah, and one of the things that I was hoping to talk more about on here was how I'm leveraging Web 2.0 to help my business grow even further. And, really, it comes to the point where I learned all this stuff from Matt Cutts. I was still hesitant and entrenched in old ways. Mm-hmm. And then one day I just shook my head and said, no, I've got to forget everything I've learned and take his advice. So I went and built a site from the ground up in a very competitive industry. And within 2 weeks, I was ranking at the top of the charts for pretty much every keyword I was targeting. And I was like, wow, this really works. And at that time, 2 weeks to get to the top, most internet marketing coaching clubs were teaching that, there's this Google sandbox, so you've got to let your site age before it'll show up. It's going to take a year. Like, sandbox? What's sandbox? It's like, no, you've just been caught by Google filters, and now you're in a taxi lineup waiting for a human editor to come by and review your site to see if it's quality, and that's going to take about a year.
Yep.
So the way I was building my sites, it was, nope, I don't get caught by any filters. On you go to the index.
Yep, it's the difference between knowing what you're doing and not knowing what you're doing. And I feel for all the people out there that laid down, in some cases, thousands of dollars to learn, do this and wait in the sandbox for months and months and months, and then you'll see if there are any results.
And just getting back to things like the system seminar, I am so, one, I'm presenting there, two, I look forward to talking to others because, you know what, whoa, that's an interesting idea. You go to these things and you all of a sudden go, I get it. And one thing I always jokingly say is, hey, if you want to pick my brain, buy me a beer and let's talk business.
Mm-hmm.
So come to you got to come to the system seminar to have those interactions. If you're sitting at home in an office somewhere and you're just not able to get it, there's nothing like having a human interaction, face-to-face meeting where you can talk specifically about your business and what your business needs, and all of a sudden maybe a conversation with me will pop up a light bulb and you'll head home and be making an extra $10,000, $20,000 a month, and wow, good thing I went to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the remaining minutes on this call, let's offer some things that people can apply immediately to helping
drive traffic to their sites with the search engines.
Well, I would give them.
Yeah, obviously, you know, this is an involved topic, but what can we give people right now that they can use right now?
Right now, one of the biggest social media sites that I've just been nailing it on is a site called SlideShare.net.
Let me make sure we got it right. Did you say SlideShare?
SlideShare.net.
I'm going to spell it out just for everybody.
SlideShare.net.
Got it.
And what you need to do is create a nice little PowerPoint presentation about your business and add a link into that to start driving traffic right away. And this is one of the sources where I'll get ranked in a matter of 6 minutes, 7 minutes, and have it come back to my site and, wow, watch the sales grow.
So sometimes one good idea is better than 20 good ideas, because with one good idea you can actually get down and do something. So while we're on this subject, I'm going to go to SlideShare right now. I'm going to ask you a few just practical procedural questions about this, because this is new to me. Actually, everything related to search is new to me. However, I'm very inspired. That dinner I had in Vancouver, I can't tell you how that really. I really got this. See, so many people present this. It's really like, they're like doctors or lawyers. They kind of present things in such a way that you get the idea that, oh, I could never understand this, so I better pay the doctor, you know, or I better pay the lawyer. Whereas the way you and Michael and the other Colin were talking, I got this sense, wow, this is doable. This is approachable. I can do it.
Anybody can do this.
So I'm at. I've just gone to SlideShare.net, and what I'm looking at is a home page, of course, and there's some spotlighted graphics.
Slidecasts is what they call them.
What do they call them?
Slidecasts.
Slidecasts. So these, just to make sure I understand, these are people that have put together a PowerPoint slideshow, and they have uploaded it to this site called SlideShare. And right now, you know, we're at a particular point in time where Tibet is in the news, so the top spotlighted slideshows are about Tibet. And now, so I make a slide. So let's say I want to rank high for aardvarks, okay? I'm an aardvark breeder, or I found a great aardvark affiliate program.
Hey, I never thought of selling those before, Ken.
And I love aardvarks. You know, I just happen to be into aardvarks, and I could spend 24 hours a day talking and thinking and dreaming about aardvarks anyway, so I might as well get paid for it. So I'm on this internet thing, and what is step one? Do I make a slideshow about aardvarks?
Well, first off, you want to create an account. So at the top you see hello guest login sign up. So you go sign up for an account.
Does it cost anything?
Doesn't cost anything. It's absolutely free. You enter your name, you create a username, put your email address in there, set a password, and then they'll send you a verification email and say, yep, that's really my email address. Then you create a slide presentation, make it as interesting as you can, and what I like to do is get my website name in front of an audience. This is part of my branding efforts. That's like, as people start to see my pages rank. So, and here's what I like to see happen is, you search a term, there's my website, but then the SlideShare comes up, and the searcher might go do another search and say, oh, well, the SlideShare site's talking about Colin. Wait a minute, this Mephedia site is talking about Colin. Well, there's four or five pages in the top of Google that are all talking about Colin. Therefore, Colin must be the best place on the planet to go buy that from.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to keep in mind the people searching Google, for the most part, aren't aware of this social media thing. They just see it as another website talking about you. And in fact, am I allowed to plug my free report here, Ken?
Please, you know what? Please do. It's a way for us to make sure that everybody on this call takes maximum value from it. And that's what we're trying to do. I know we've talked about some philosophical things, but those are important too. You know, and we wanted to cover those.
Those are probably more important than the actual doing. The intention's got to be there. So you know, that really, people, you need to take heed of that. You've got two very successful people talking to you right now that are saying, you know, it's really all about the intention. So take a lot from that.
Great. And then also, And then also take advantage of Colin's free report right now, if you would.
Yeah, it's that. Yeah, all the stuff I'm talking about here, and I've got about another 50 places like this listed in there. It's constantconversation.com.
Yeah, I'm going to say that again for everybody so it's crystal clear. Constantconversation.com. And let me ask you this. You're actually giving this list away.
Yep.
Right?
And here
you spent,
it is. Go get it.
You spent no short amount of time finding these sites, testing them, getting the results, throwing out the weak ones, identifying the strong ones. I mean, I can't even calculate how much time you put into it. And
a lot. It's the culmination of about 3 or 4 years of just hunting, poking, finding.
Okay, and guys, I hope everybody hears this. If you go to constantconversation.com right now, you get all that research for free. Colin, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Let's go back to our example with SlideShare.
Create an account. It'll take about 30 seconds to create the account. In some cases, I like to actually use a keyword phrase as part of my username just to help. There's so little actual content that'll go onto this page. So it's, maybe I'll go create an email address on a keyword. And there we go. I've got that listed. So it's in this case, if you do create a username with a keyword in it, that's getting a little touching on the manipulative side. I tend to be very, very light on that because I really want to focus on my brand.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
You read through the Constant Conversation, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But anyway, so we'll go create this account, and then I'll put together a nice PowerPoint presentation. It doesn't have to be anything too fancy, just real information. And quite often with my affiliate links, they provide copy for me. So I'll go in and say, oh, that's a nice copy. And I'll rewrite that and say, go visit Criteria.com to see what Capital One can do for you, and so on, and off we go.
Amazing. And just that simple act gets you a lot of credence in Google.
Yeah, that page will rank in Google. You'll see my page on several terms in Google. And when the visitor visits the SlideShare site, I want them to see the brand name Criteria.com. So I make sure I get Criteria.com, and there I'll put a logo in, see what Criteria has to say about this credit card, about this financial product, about this financial service.
Hmm. And I noticed, that SlideShare.net, Google thinks very highly of them. They're ranked, they have a page ranking of 7, which is really high.
Yeah, so you can leverage that page rank. So you can start a website today with no page rank. And first off, I don't even talk about PageRank. I use my Firefox browser with no plugins for this PageRank thing. PageRank,
okay.
Really, folks, think about it this way. It's green fairy dust.
Okay.
It is a good measure to go see. Is a PageRank 7, yes, that is very impressive. Hmm. However, I don't look at that again. I don't care that my site, Criteria.com's got a PageRank 4. I don't care if it's got a page rank 4 or 5 or 6 or 7. What I care about is, oh, look at this, credit card applications, there's my site. Oh, look at this, apply for blah, 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 credit card now. Cool.
Gotcha.
I care about traffic. What you see on the Google toolbar really is an estimate of page rank that is 3 to 6 months old.
Oh, okay.
So it's what you're seeing there isn't accurate anyway, so... Stop really putting it. If you're sitting there at your computer looking at, well, how do I boost my page rank? You're focusing on the wrong thing. I actually build my business with the concept of, I'm going to build this as if the search engine didn't exist. How am I going to promote it? How am I going to get word out there? And, hey, Joe, I just built this page. Do you want to take a look at that? Actually, do you want to talk about, on that note, I know I'm jumping all over the place here, but... You know, go get a SlideShare account, go create a slide, put a keyword in there somewhere in the file name on the presentation you create. So if it's, let's say, Fuzzy Blue Widgets is your keyword, create a PowerPoint and title it Fuzzy Blue Widgets, load it to PowerPoint, sit back, watch the traffic come in.
And if you need more details on this and other sites where you can do similar things,
go to constantconversation.com, and that's where Colin is giving away not only the technology, the how-to to do this, but also the specific sites that he's currently getting the best results from. What an amazing thing that you're leaving with our listeners. And so I think we met our goal of giving our listeners something valuable that they can take away right now and use right now in their businesses. We also got into some, I don't know, philosophical things that actually turn out to be really important. I may call on you again later in the series here, and maybe we'll do another call together because this was so.
Yeah, we could actually talk about how I got on the Code Red radio show as an identity theft expert in Washington, D.C., as some kid from Vancouver, B.C., that 2 weeks prior wrote some content on identity theft.
Oh, I'm up for that. Let's make an agreement to do that, because that'll be fun. I mean, because expertise is a great thing to be able to know how to establish when you're trying to market. It looks like you have a method for doing that very quickly as well. So, Colin, I really want to thank you for the time today. This has been great. I'm very enthusiastic about having a very strong search engine faculty this year at System 2008, and you're one of the leaders on that. For everybody listening, if there's still time, and I don't know that there is, but if there is still time, the System seminar this year, System 2008, will be held in Chicago, May 30th, 31st, and June 1st. This is something we've been doing every year for many years. I gave it the name, the System Seminar, in 2002, but actually I've been giving it putting on an annual internet marketing event since 1994. I actually put on the very first conference that focused on the subject of the web as a potential commercial medium. And every year I've done something. And in 2002, I just formalized it and opened the doors and let everybody in. We call it the System Seminar. This is now our sixth year under that name. We will have 25 experts, each giving their own workshop on every area you can imagine related to internet marketing, copywriting, info marketing, selling physical products, SEO, Web 2.0, video on the internet, and on and on and on it goes. A surprising number of our faculty are actually graduates of earlier System programs. We've had Perry Marshall, who started with us. Howie Jacobson, who's the author of AdWords for Dummies, Lloyd Irvin, who's, if not doing over $10 million a year online, is very close to it at this point, and Mike Stewart. I'm just reeling off some of the names of people that started with us and did come back as faculty. To get this year's faculty, you'll want to go to thesystemseminar.com and see who we've got this year, but we've got 25 experts, 25 workshops. We've got an executive from Google, by the way, from the AdWords program, who's going to be coming and speaking to us. That's a first. We've got a lot of interesting folks. Again, it's May 30th, 31st, and June 1st in Chicago. Colin, of course, is going to be there. I'm going to be there. And it is thesystemseminar.com. Hope to see you there. And if you can't come, it's okay. But do take advantage of these calls. And I know you are because you're on this one, but take advantage of all of them. They're all at this level. And we are really attempting to give away the entire foundational encyclopedia of what you need to know to do business online. And the reason we're doing that is because we know if you've got this stuff under your belt, you will end up at the System Seminar as a student someday, either sooner or later, because you're going to realize that we're the ones that are pushing the envelope all the time. We're the ones that take the time to really figure out what the best practices are and share them as clearly as we possibly can. So there was an old saying when I was growing up, maybe other stores had this in your part of the world, but there was a guy that sold mattresses, and his name was Cy Sims. And his tagline was, Cy Sims, where an educated consumer is the best customer. And that's our model here. We feel that if you're truly educated about internet marketing, you're going to be one of our best customers, and that's why we invest so much. We're doing 25 of these free teleseminars, all content-rich, all to help you bring yourself along, develop your abilities as an internet marketer. If we don't get you this year, that's okay. We'll get you next year, or we'll get you 3 years from now. You will eventually see us, and we'll be very glad to meet you when we do. So that's thesystemseminar.com. Colin McDougall, thank you so much. This was fun, as it always is when we talk.
Thanks, Ken.
and I will see you in Chicago.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing everyone there. Look forward to seeing you again, and definitely make sure you get your ticket right now, because I tell you, talk to me for 10 minutes, and you're going to have one of those wow moments. So come on to Chicago. Let's talk, and I will see all of you there.
Bye-bye.
Bye.